fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Ghana, where action is continuing at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament. Our VOA football fans will remember this competition doubles as a qualifying tournament for next year's Women's World Cup in France. The top three African teams in Ghana will book tickets to the 2019 Women's World Cup. In results Tuesday, Mali defeated host Ghana 2-1, and Cameroon beat Algeria 3-0. Both matches were played in Ghana's capital, Accra. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, filed this report.
Passionate Ghanaian fans were not discouraged when their team went down 1-0 through a penalty in the 24th-minute India Group A outcome match against Mali. The Ghanaians equalized also through a penalty beautifully converted by Elizabeth Addo in the 71st minute. The Ghanaians could not enjoy their equalizer when Basira Touré scored Mali's second goal in the 73rd minute to seal the scoreline to 2-1 in favor of Mali. At a post-match press conference, disappointed Black Queens coach Bashiru Hayford blamed officiating.
I think about 80% was played by the referee. I don't normally talk about the referees, but referees do frustrate players. And I think the referee succeeded in frustrating our players. All the same, I don't want to take anything from the Malians. But in fact, I think on the field of play, we played about 65-70%. And the referee added whatever he wanted to add. And I don't want to complain too much, but that is my side of the story.
In the other Group A second game, Cameroon defeated Algeria 3-0. Abudi Ongeni got the opener in the 12th minute. Gaili Deborah made it 2 in the 54th minute, and Njoya Ajara scored the third goal in the 60th minute. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kobno Fori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I mentioned how the top three African teams in Ghana will qualify for the 2019 Women's World Cup. The International Football Fiesta will feature 24 teams, and it will be held in France from June 7th to July 7th. The United States is the defending Women's World Cup champion, and the American women will be bidding for their fourth world title. And if 2018 is any indicator, the USA will be tough to dethrone. The American women went undefeated this year with 18 wins, no losses, and 2 draws. And speaking of draws, the draw for the 2019 Women's World Cup will be held on December 8th, and the 24 teams will be placed into 6 groups of 4 each. In African men's football, Nigeria and visiting Uganda played to a scoreless draw Tuesday in a friendly international match played in Asaba, Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Asaba.
The Cranes of Uganda played a tactical game to contain the Super Eagles of Nigeria in an international friendly match played at the Stephen Keshi Stadium in Asaba, Delta State of Nigeria. The Cranes defense, led by Awang Timothy and Dennis Iguma, frustrated moves by the Nigerian attack led by members of the under-17 team that won the 2015 FIFA World Cup in Chile. Nigerian manager Geno Roh used 2 members of that team to lead the Super Eagles attack. The players, Germany-based Victor Osimhen and Spain-based Samuel Chukwueze, tormented the Cranes of Uganda but could not find the net. Osimhen missed 3 scoring opportunities in the first half. Ugandan captain Emmanuel Okwie had the chance to score for his side in the 35th minute, but his shot sailed over the bar. On resumption, the two sides made efforts to score, but missed the chances that were created. Kennedy Onwunale is a sports journalist with Radio Nigeria, Owerri. He says though the match ended goalless, the Super Eagles played well.
It was a good one for the team. The young Nigerian lads really showed that, yes, we are out there to really show that if given the opportunity, we'll take the bull by the horn. And they gave it all. Looking at it from the first half, they sized up the Ugandans. And the second half was a really cagey one where they had to show that, yes, we've got experience. We can do it. And it was a good one for the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Colin Odo of Kwese Sports says the game was used to test some young players and prepare the Super Eagles for the African Nations Tournament.
I think it was a good game. We saw the coach play some young players and some new players who have not had a chance to play for the Super Eagles for a while. And I think overall we've got to look at it in terms of that this is the first step in the preparations for the African Nations Cup. So we saw the likes of Osimhen, Chukwueze, Success got a proper run out. Henry Onyekuru also got a run out. We saw Brian Idowu who tried a right back. We saw Shami Ajayi and John Ogu. So it was an experimental side, and I think in the end it was a good game.
Nigeria and Uganda have qualified for the African Cup of Nations tournament scheduled for Cameroon in the summer of 2019. The two countries lead their group in the Nations Cup qualifying matches. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In another international friendly football match played Tuesday, Brazil beat 2019 Nations Cup host Cameroon 1-0 in Milton Keynes, England, about 70 kilometers northwest of London. Everton striker Richarlison had the goal for the Brazilians, knocking home a header just before halftime. Now, Richarlison came on as a substitute early in the match for Paris Saint-Germain star Neymar, who suffered what was described as an adductor muscle injury while taking a shot. Brazil's team doctor says Neymar will be evaluated, but he thinks it's not a serious injury. Meanwhile, despite the loss, Cameroon's Dutch coach Clarence Seedorf says he's very proud of his team, and he says the Brazil match gives a lot of confidence for the future. Just ahead, I'll talk with Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief, about NBA hoops. But first, a look at Tuesday night's NBA action. The Toronto Raptors, who have the NBA's best record, posted their 14th victory in 18 games, edging the host Orlando Magic by 2 points. The AP's Kyle Cassandra reports from Orlando, Florida.
The Toronto Raptors survived a close one against the Orlando Magic, 93-91 at the Amway Center in Orlando. At halftime, it looked like it was going to be a Raptors runaway, but the Magic came out strong in the third quarter and kept it close the entire second half. It took a Danny Green jumper with 0.5 seconds left to seal the victory for the Raptors. Raptors head coach Nick Nurse.
We had three really good quarters of defense. I think it was 17, 20, and 16, and we had an absolute disaster in the third. Most of that was our defensive fault. Some of it was our offensive fault.
Kawhi Leonard led the Raptors with 18 points, 6 rebounds. Evan Fournier had a game-high 27 points, 4 assists.
I thought the energy was better. You know, we're down 10, so we wanted to make a run. The energy was just better, execution was better, and we actually started to make shots, so it helps.
The Raptors now improved to 14-4. The Magic are at 500 at 9-9. Kyle Cassandra, Orlando.
Thanks, Kyle. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to New York City, where the Portland Trail Blazers picked up their 12th victory of the season Tuesday night. The AP's Tom Merriam reports from New York.
The Trailblazers' dynamic backcourt duo of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum combined for 60 points to lead Portland to a 118-114 victory over the New York Knicks. Lillard scored 19 of his 29 points in the first half, but the Knicks were up 2 at the intermission. New York kept the lead until Myers Leonard hit a three-point shot with 1:23 left in the third quarter to give Portland an 85-83 lead it never relinquished. McCollum scored 13 of his 31 points in the fourth quarter, including 10 in less than 4 minutes early in the period. The Knicks' Tim Hardaway Jr. led all scorers with 32 points. Tom Merriam, New York.
Thanks, Tom. In two more NBA results Tuesday night, the Brooklyn Nets scored a 104-92 road victory over the Miami Heat. And here in Washington, my favorite team, the Washington Wizards, waved their wands and beat the Los Angeles Clippers 125-118. All-star guard John Wall scored a game-high 30 points for the Wizards, while his backcourt partner Bradley Beal had 27 points. Joining us once again on the show to talk NBA hoops is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the VOA Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Well, why don't we begin with the Wizards right here in Washington, Mwamoyo. As I mentioned, they beat the Clippers last night. I'm looking at NBA.com. That's the NBA's website. And they got a picture of John Wall, the star guard for the Wizards. And underneath Wall is the caption, "Signs of life in D.C. because there really hasn't been a whole lot of life with the Wizards, has there?
Yes, because they have been playing woefully, and the reason why that is big news is what happened a few days before.
Talk about that.
So they haven't been playing very well, so they've been losing a lot of games, and this is a team that was primed to do better this season. But they haven't been doing very well, and obviously there is tension in the locker room. So news reports say that there was some skirmishes and words of being thrown back and forth during practice between players and against the coach also. So and then news came that Wizards perhaps might, and this is a big might, trade John Wall. And that was big news. Everybody was, can this happen? But it is a legitimate question because of the way they've been playing. But, you know, I don't think they can do that at this time, because Wizards is a team that is primed to do better. And teams usually take time to build pieces and it may take time to get the right pieces to really do well in the NBA. So they have John Wall, they have Bradley Beal, and several other role players right now. So they're just looking for that one more piece that may make them over the hump. And as you said, right on cue, last night, they went on and beat a very good Clippers team, 125-118. And John Wall had 30 points. Bradley Beal had 27 points. That's the kind of performance that says, don't trade me.
That's right.
And if you trade me, this is what I'm going to do, where I'm going.
And both Beal and Wall, they have huge contracts. I mean, I think a team would have to really take on a big financial burden to acquire them.
Especially for John Wall. John Wall has a $203 million contract running through the 2023 season. So it's very difficult to unload that kind of player. And wherever he goes, John Wall wants to go to a team where he'll be a leader of the team. So who has that kind of money, and who can make space for him on the court? It's very difficult.
John Wall and Bradley Beal rated two of the top guards in the NBA. Another guard making headlines, Mwamoyo, Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. He's the new NBA scoring leader. Talk about Kemba.
Kemba Walker, he just joined what is called the 60-40 club. Meaning, you know, you play one game, you make 60 points, and then the next game, you make more than 40 points. And very few players in the NBA are in that club. You're talking about Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. Going further back, you're talking about Tracy McGrady is in there. You're talking about Will Chamberlain. You even talk about Pete Maravich. That's far, far back. So it's not an easy thing to do. But Kemba Walker, who came into the league in 2011, he's been doing very well, and now he's leading the league as the top scorer. I mean, this is a league with Steph Curry, remember? You know,
that's right. Great shooter. I was thinking one guy who's probably smiling over Kemba's scoring is Michael Jordan. He owns the Charlotte
Hornets. He owns the Charlotte Hornets.
And he had a few big scoring games, didn't he, in the past?
And he is in the 60-40 club. So he gladly welcomes Kemba Walker in that club.
You mentioned Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, Mwamoyo. The Warriors surprising losing streak. Talk about that.
They have lost three games in a row. But, you know, without Steph Curry. Steph Curry has suffered a groin injury, and that has kept him out of three games. Draymond Green missed that one game when they had this fight with Kevin Durant. And chances are they might miss Steph Curry for the next two games. And this is where the trouble is. They're playing OKC tonight. And you know, OKC, when they play Golden State Warriors, they always bring it. And simply because they don't want to be beaten by Kevin Durant, who used to play OKC.
That's right.
And OKC, who started badly, but now they've been winning some games. So tonight, there is a chance that they could lose a fourth game. And if they lose a fourth game tonight, on Friday, they're playing Portland Trail Blazers, who are leading the Western Conference. That's another tough game if you have to play without Steph Curry.
And getting back to the Wizards memorial, the head coach of the Wizards, he has some ties to OKC.
He coached OKC. He took OKC to one finals against Miami, against Spurs, and he took OKC to, I think, at least two Western Conference. So he has a good record under his belt as a coach, but he's having trouble with the current roster with the Wizards right now.
You also mentioned Kevin Durant Memorial, this superstar player for the Warriors. His contract expires after this year. Do you see him leaving the California area?
A lot of NBA, watchers think Kevin Durant will leave Golden State Warriors, and that's one of the problem they had with Draymond Green, because Draymond Green thinks KD is not committed as the other players are with Golden State Warriors, and with his contract, he's likely to leave, and chances are he'll come to the Eastern Conference, because Eastern Conference teams, they have wanted him for many, many years.
Maybe the Wizards.
Maybe the Wizards.
I would love to see him on the Wizards.
Which is his hometown. So now that he has won NBA title, and perhaps he'll win another one this year, so he might say, okay, now it's time to go back home and get a title for them.
I've also heard that he could go from Northern California to Southern California, though, and join LeBron with the Lakers. What about LeBron this season, Memorial?
Well, LeBron, when the season started, LeBron wasn't looking very good, and his team wasn't looking very good. I mean, everybody was saying, well, LeBron, for the first time, he's going to miss the playoffs. But guess what? On Sunday, he went back to Miami. Where he left in 2014. And he had an exciting performance, putting on 51 points.
51.
Very exciting 51 points. So his team is sitting number 8 right now on Western Conference. So if the playoffs are today, they begin today, Lakers are in and Houston are out. So what that tells you is, LeBron will take this team into the playoffs. Even though in the beginning a lot of people had said, chances are they won't get into the playoffs, but there's a good chance that they will get into the playoffs. They won't get far because Western Conference is very difficult, but at least they will get into the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, thanks for joining us again on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Anytime, son.
Always a pleasure. That's Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the VOA's Swahili Service Chief. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. American golf stars Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are getting ready for a unique competition on Friday. Joining us once again to tell us more is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, they're calling it the match, Tiger versus Phil. The two golfers are set to go head-to-head on the greens of Shadow Creek in Las Vegas in a $9 million winner-take-all duel. On Tuesday, Tiger and Phil sat down together in Las Vegas to promote the event, where Phil seemed to take the proverbial first swing.
Tiger's 6 years younger than I am, and even though he doesn't look it, he would come along and always break every little record. So I might have had some junior records throughout Southern California. He'd come along and break those. I'd go to college. I'd have a nice record there. He'd come along and win those. I'd win a USM or he wins three. And Shadow Creek, I shot the course record in 92 or 3, shot 61. He comes along a few years later, breaks it at 60. I mean, it's seems to be a theme. But Friday, you got to do it simultaneously. Now, you can't come along later. You know, you're it's my chance after losing so many majors to you and so many tournaments to get a little something back. I believe, in fact, I'm willing to risk $100,000 that says I birdie the first hole. So that's how good I feel heading into this match. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take it at all. But hold I'm going to throw that
all,
out
hold
there.
Hold on, hold on. So you think you can make birdie on the first hole?
I know I'm going to make birdie on the first hole.
Double it.
Well, we'll find out if a first hole birdie can be made with $200,000 on the line. Their friendly banter hints at years of intense competition between the two that has spanned over 20 years. And to give viewers access into the minds and strategies of the two golfers, both Tiger and Phil, along with their caddies, will be mic'd during competition. Tiger notes Friday's event marks a turning point for the sport.
This is very different than anything golf has ever done in the past. I think that's one of the unique things about it is that we're able to showcase our sport in such a different light and all the different technologies that we're going to be bringing to this event and doing it, you know, differently than any other golfing event has ever been done. That's the exciting thing for not only myself and Phil, but I think that from all the viewers that are going to watch.
And if you are one of those people, take note that the Showdown is the first ever pay-per-view event for golf. Turner Sports is charging $20 for viewers to watch Tiger and Phil compete in the winner-take-all exhibition. The two golf greats tee off in Las Vegas on Friday. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. More football news now. Italy defeated the United States 1-0 on Tuesday in an international friendly match played in Genk, Belgium. A strike from Matteo Politano deep in second half stoppage time proved to be the winning goal for the Italians. The U.S. Soccer Federation says the Americans fielded the youngest lineup in the team's modern era, with the starting 11 having an average age of 22. The USA's interim coach, Dave Sarakin, also made history by handing the captain's armband to 20-year-old Christian Pulisic, who became the youngest USA captain in the modern era. Pulisic says he was honored to serve as USA captain, and I think with his young talents, we're going to see that captain's armband on Christian's arm in the future. Before the match against Italy, the U.S. Soccer Federation announced the team would play Costa Rica on February 2nd in an international friendly match in San Jose, California. That game will be one of two matches here in the United States to kick off 2019 for the U.S. men's national soccer team. By the way, the U.S. Soccer Federation is expected to name a new head coach before those friendly matches early in 2019. And that wraps up the November 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, new Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is pushing through reforms, including tackling economic mismanagement, fighting corruption, and human rights abuses. An in-depth discussion on Ethiopia's new era on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study by a pair of researchers at the UK's University of Reading suggests the massive bombing of Europe by Allied forces during World War II not only caused devastation on the ground, but also impacted the ionosphere as well. The ionosphere is the portion of the upper atmosphere ionized by solar radiation. Along with other functions, it impacts the global propagation of radio signals. The study authors reviewed records kept between 1943 and 1945 by the UK's Radio Research Center. These records contained the daily measurements of the ionosphere. According to the study, there was significant reduction of electron concentration in the atmosphere on the days when the Allies conducted their bombing raids in Europe. The study suggests that shock waves caused by the intense bombing may have heated the upper atmosphere, which increased its loss of ionization. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.